back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:37, 23 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock, and we welcome to the show Daniel Dupree from the Civil War. Well, is it from the Civil War Muster, or what exactly is the organization?
It's Daniel Pardee.
Pardee. Oh, I am so sorry.
I am the vice president of the Jackson Civil War Muster Committee.
Okay. But this weekend, Daniel, is a big event happening. Kind of like a feeder for the Civil War Muster. What's going on this weekend? Next weekend,
mm-hmm. December 5th through the 7th at the Ellis Sharp Museum, we are hosting the Ellis Sharp Museum Civil War Muster Winter Quarters event.
Okay. What does that mean? Because we're familiar with the muster. Everybody's familiar. Everybody's got their root beer cans and everything ready. But what can we expect with this coming up next weekend?
So, the Civil War Muster happens in August, where it's hot days and hot summer days, just like any typical Civil War battle or event usually happens. Mm-hmm. This is the second year we are hosting with the Ellis Sharp Museum and the Jackson County Historical Society is the colder side aspect of the war, okay, where you get to see soldiers on both sides that camp in the cold weather, the blizzard conditions, how they would have built their tents differently to stay warm, and how they would cook their meals differently, and even get to see the civilian aspect side of what they would do for their loved ones that are off to war.
Okay. So not a lot of fighting happened in the winter then?
Not a lot. A lot of times, because they were going by the Napoleonic War tactics, where during the spring through the fall, where conditions were a little bit better, mm-hmm, where they would go and, all right, we're going to meet up here and we're going to fight each other, as to where in the winter times it's the conditions are bad, we don't really want to be on the move. But there has been battles during the war, like the Battle of Stones River, or which happened around New Year's Day, and they actually had a ceasefire on New Year's Day to quit the fight and then exchange stories and gifts, and then they went right back into fighting the next day.
It's crazy how that would happen. You just don't think of, especially in our modern warfare mentality, taking a break or prepping the field or having conversations before we would have a battle. You know, we agree to it's almost like schoolyardish. All right, I'm going to fight you behind the football field at such and such a time. We don't have that kind of battle mentality anymore.
No, not anymore. And that's why they called the Civil War the Gentleman's War, or the Brothers' War, because there was families that were divided at that time. At the Battle of Chickamauga, there was brothers that spotted each other across no man's land, and they dropped their weapons, went to the middle, and fistfighted each other, that both sides stopped shooting to watch them fight.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. But this next weekend, it's happening at Ellis Sharp Park. What time should people arrive?
People are going to be setting up Friday, but people are more than welcome to come and see how things are getting set up, or even come out Friday night to come see the setups. But the most attractions are happening Saturday from 9 to 5 when the museum is open. You're going to see artillery fire of how they would have loaded and shoot and cleaned out the cannons. You get to see how meals would have been cooked. There will be reenactors there to answer any questions folks have, or anybody that's interested in becoming a reenactor. There will be units there to join if you're interested, or how to join. The ladies of both sides, the Union and Confederate side, are going to be putting on demonstrations of how they would have had fundraisers and how they would have given supplies to soldiers in needs, like extra blankets, scarves, socks, pants, etc.,
right,
or even extra food that they would have scrounged up to be sent to the armies.
Okay.
And there would be reenactor musicians there that will be playing 1860 style music along with military music.
Okay.
And there will be infantry drills of how they would have continued to drill even in their downtime. And
okay. Daniel Pardee is in the studio with us today as we're talking about the event coming up next weekend. So it sounds like you're going to be setting up Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to be kind of immersed in it from Friday throughout the weekend then? I mean, will you be camping overnight like they would have camped back in the day?
Oh, yes. Many reenactors will be staying overnight in actual winter quarter tents, and just like they would have done. And sometimes in these tents, there'll be 5 or 8 guys huddled next to each other just to stay warm. And
oh, wow. All right. So what? How do they do it differently in the wintertime than what we have seen at the Civil War muster?
So at the muster, you would actually see the A-frame tents or dog tents or shebangs is what we call it. Basically, it's just a thrown-up cloth over rope or a branch and kind of provides shade or just a little protection of any rain. As into the winter, the tents would actually would be up higher. The ground would actually be dug out into a pit and lined with logs or boards into a cabin style. And then we would set the tents above. And then we would actually dig a hole in the side of the ground and out. And we would actually make a fireplace with a mud hut chimney.
Huh. Well, yeah, you got to figure out a way to stay warm for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is the second year this has been going on. What did you guys learn from the first year? Are you expecting – what type of crowds are we expecting?
We're expecting bigger crowds this year due to – we're going to host it more in the daytime since it gets dark so quick around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. So we're going to host it all day, but anybody is welcome to stay in the nighttime and get to see even the soldiers, get to read letters from home that they get from their loved ones, whether their wives, their sisters, their mothers, or their kids. They would start singing Christmas music like you would see around this time of age too, thinking about home and instead of the horrors of war and
when we talk about reenactment, we think about the battles, but from what I'm picking up from you this morning is it's really kind of for the weekend. It feels like it's a whole lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, it is. Especially once you become a reenactor, that it's not just about the battles. It's the lifestyle. It's how they would have drilled, how they would have ate, how they would have camped, how they slept, how they would have survived in any type of condition that comes their way, just like we would today, basically. And it's those small steps that make up those big steps to those battles.
Right.
I was 11 years old when my grandfather took me to the Jackson Civil War muster in 2002 and got to see the camp life and lifestyles. And then once the battle happened, I got hooked. I wanted to do it. And then once I started getting into reenacting in the artillery, I started doing family research, and I found my local aunt relative who fought in the 4th Michigan and was wounded at Malvern Hill, and he got to be in the capital as a hospital and recuperate and then be sent home. And then that's where it just started forming my path to where I am today. I found about 317 relatives who fought on both sides. And I had a second great-grandmother that a family found shortly after the Battle of Chancellorsville. This little girl, roughly about 2 or 3 years old, don't know who she was, who she belonged to, picked her up, brought her to Michigan, and adopted her. And that was my second great-grandmother. So it's not just the soldiers or the battles. It's everybody's involvement of that war in that time period that it's every little piece of the puzzle that makes up the big picture.
Yeah. When you reenact on both sides.
Yes.
Right. What is that like? I mean, because when you're reenacting, a lot of people think of the South as being the bad guy. But when you're on that side, it's kind of like you have to flip your perspective and look at the North as being the bad guy, right?
That's the thing. It's that it wasn't called a civil war until about the 1900s. It was a war of Northern aggression or the war between the states.
Okay.
And everybody talks about, well, it was this key point or this key point. It's if you look at all the fractions, those key fractions are only making up 1 or 2% of the big picture. So because of the Civil War, everybody went in fighting for many, many different reasons and causes. So it could be to fight to free the slaves. It could be to fight for to keep slaves. It could be the North was invading my state, so I see them as an invader. Or, hey, I don't want to do my farm chores anymore. I'm going to run off and fight. And but right. at that time, everybody thought it was just one big battle and it was going to be done. Well, come to find out, it was going to be dragged out for 4 years, and over 700,000 Americans died. And that's more Americans died in that war than any other war we were involved in combined.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. So you've been involved with the Civil War muster, like you said, since you were, what, 11?
11.
And is that what fed really into your desire to follow history, to learn history? Was it first started with that spark of the Civil War muster?
Yes. Okay. It's not just to follow history. It's to learn from it, and it's mm-hmm. to help teach others, just like the actual Civil War veterans did. That's where reenacting started from, was from the veterans themselves, to show this is what we went through, and we don't want to repeat it right. ever again. So then their sons took on their footsteps and their grandkids, and then history nerds started.
History nerds. Do you consider yourself that?
Or? Oh, yes.
Yeah?
I'm a nerd.
For sure. Well, it sounds like it's a lot of fun. So, Civil War muster. Have we set a date coming up for the August event yet?
It'll be next year, August 22nd, 23rd, 2026. And the feature battle we're going to do next year is the Battle of Shiloh.
Oh, okay.
It's a more well-known battle right. in the Western Theater in Tennessee.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, when you first started learning the history, were you kind of surprised at how important Michigan was to the Civil War?
Oh, yes. Even Lincoln praised us. We sent over 90,000 of our sons to war mm-hmm. to go and fight. And get to know so many of my relatives fought in many Michigan regiments. And even my wife, I helped with even her family research, and her brother came across that they're the fourth great niece of George Custer.
Hmm.
And she had one ancestor that was in the first Michigan Mechanics and Engineers. They went and rebuilt bridges and the roads for the armies to get across and move. And come to find out, my ancestor and her ancestor both died in the same hospital of typhoid, and both are buried in the cemetery in Chattanooga. Oh,
wow. Interesting. That's way cool. So, I mean, just not that, but you know what I mean. Just being able to find that history and to find those type of connections with your family. I mean, you're doing the type of research that 90% of us don't do. And you're learning more and getting insight into your own family and how that's been intertwined in history. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's what makes who you are today.
Yeah.
And even who you are today, you are making history for your future generations to mm-hmm. come. That they're going to look back if they do the research, and they're going to say, oh, my grandmother did this, my grandfather did this, or my uncle.
Yeah, very cool. Well, again, the event coming up next weekend at L.A. Sharp, give our listeners kind of like the elevator speech, the what they need to know for next weekend.
Well, for next weekend, I invite anybody to come out. It's free admission. Buildings are going to be open up to the public. There'll be infantry. There'll be artillery. There'll be a couple dismounted cavalrymen there to talk with the public and to help teach, and children are more than welcome. We're going to have artillery fire. We're going to have demonstrations of the Lady Society, music, caroling, and so much more demonstrations for the folks to enjoy.
Daniel Pardee joining us here in the studio, Vice President of the Civil War Muster Committee here on AM Jackson. We cover everything? We get everything covered that you wanted to?
Oh, I could talk more, but I'm sure I think I covered.
Hey, thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank bringing your contingency with you, too. So.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Yes.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.